Welcome back to Aminal's World. This is episode 50, and I'm finally back after almost a year, although it doesn't really feel like it's been that long. I've really missed doing this. I've missed speaking to guests on the show, and I think I really just missed having that hour to myself away from the baby and the chaos. It did take me a while to get back on the podcast because life changed very quickly for me, and I couldn't keep up because Radhika grew up so quickly. We were in the middle of the pandemic in between lockdowns, and there was so much I wanted to do, so many things I wanted to tick off my bucket list. But then at the same time, I had my own mental health to look after, I had my own physical health to look after, and I had this tiny human in front of me who needed me, well, every minute of the day, even in the night, and she still does need me. And as she grows up, her energy levels are going up, my energy levels are going down. So there's a big mismatch in our energies, and it's taken time for me to settle down with her and I guess this new life as a mother. And today I just wanted to give you a quick update and welcome you all back to my world and everything that you can expect in the next few months. I guess a lot of you, or at least I hope some of you, are still with me from the very, very early days of my podcasting career or my podcasting journey, and that was with Desi Outsiders. And I started podcasting when I was in my fourth year of medical school as a means of trying to understand the world around me. And now I think I'll just talk a little bit about that, only because I have lots of new followers on Instagram, lots of new followers on Twitter who might be tuning in today, and I want to just touch a little bit about why I started this and what I plan to do with this as well. I promise I won't take too long, but It's one of those things that once you get into the story, it's really difficult to not go on a rant on the podcast, especially when no one's listening to you, literally physically in front of you, and no one's giving you any facial expressions to say that they're bored. So I hope I don't bore you too much today. But I thought I'd just touch upon why I started podcasting. And when I did start my very first podcast, which was Desi Outsiders, I was in a very, very dark place at that time. I was far away from home. I was born in Gibraltar, a tiny peninsula, which is on the southern coast of Spain. And I was born in the sun. I was raised on the beach and had quite a comfortable life. And then going all the way to Czech Republic in the very, very cold weather, in the snowy weather, meant that my life had completely changed. And the physical distance from my family had also kind of created an emotional distance as well. And because I was going through my own learning process completely alone in my own sort of little bubble, I felt that there was a big distance with the things that I agreed on and the things that my parents agreed on. There were lots of things we didn't agree on at that time. And it's strange for me to actually say that now, because if someone told me 4 years ago that I'd be in a position now where I have the most supportive parents and the most supportive family, I wouldn't have believed you. But now they are the most supportive people you'll meet. But I've had to show up for myself every day. I've had to keep going, even when I felt the world was against me, because some part of me knew that one day I'd see positive change within my family. And I feel like my own journey of going through that process was something that I wasn't going through alone. I knew that a lot of people going through something similar as well, which is why I started podcasting. And it was like my therapy. And I remember in Czech Republic when I was studying medicine, I did try to find a counselor at the time. And the GP in the Czech Republic, so the family doctor, said, okay, I can tell that you need help, but this is the best I can do for you. And he found me a therapist, and he was an old white man, and he just did not understand what I was going through, because the intricate details of living in a South Asian family is something that not everybody understands, and it's nobody's fault, but just the fact that he told me I had to just deal with it, I just had to live with it, I realized that as a brown woman, or just generally as people of color, we have to help each other and guide each other through our own healing. And we can do that by sharing our own experiences and stories. And my therapy was speaking into the microphone. My therapy was interviewing guests who had also been through their own struggles. And the astonishing thing was that everybody's been through a struggle which can sort of come under the same umbrella, but everybody's experience was so unique and so different that we could, I could just take some gems from their learning process. And I think that's quite similar to being a mother as well, that every mother has such a unique experience, such a different experience that you can't, you know, you can't generalize and say, oh, all mothers go through this or all mothers deal with this kind of, you know, problem. I think that's also something that we can say about people of color, that we all go through such unique experiences. And if we keep sort of building our connections, then the pixels in this big, big image sort of start to become more clearer. And the podcast gave me that sort of perspective, and it was my therapy, because I couldn't see myself surviving in any other way. So anyway, this is a podcast I started while I was at medical school in my fourth year. So the last two, three years of medical school, I was podcasting. I was having a great time. And when I qualified and moved to the UK, I said, look, I'm going to continue podcasting because it's part of who I am. It's almost like an extension of me. And when I moved to the UK, I thought, look, I'm qualified. I'm a doctor. I'm earning money finally. I felt like I was set for the rest of my life. I mean, I got what I wanted. I was earning money. I was independent. And it almost felt like I'd reached the finish line. But I didn't know at that time that our goalpost always moves just as we go through our careers, just as we go through our journeys as mothers, or even when you get married, like it just never ends. So we don't really finish. And even now, I don't think I've reached any sort of goalpost per se. I feel like every time I reach a milestone, it keeps moving ahead. And when I was working in the oncology ward, I realized that actually life wasn't just about being a doctor, earning money and doing a podcast. It was so much more than that, because I started to see a very different side of life. It wasn't just about being successful for some people, because some people really just said that surviving till the next day was enough, making it to the next day, making it to the next hour, taking the next breath. And with cancer patients in the UK, at least, I got to see the full circle of care they received. So, you know, many patients are not just coming into hospital just to be treated for their cancer. It brings about so many other medical issues as well. So I was dealing with lots of different issues, lots of different body systems. And it was a very steep learning curve for me, but also one that brought me a lot of satisfaction and joy. And this is something I'll go a bit later into the podcast. You know, how do we know what things in our life truly bring us the satisfaction and joy that keeps us going? I mean, I may or may not have the right answer, but as I said, this is all a journey. And maybe in the 100th episode, we might have an answer. In the 200th episode, we might have an answer. I don't know, but we just have to keep learning. So throughout my time as a doctor in the UK, I had to put my podcasting journey to one side, mainly because I was working, I was doing shift work, and doing night shifts really does take it out of you and feel drained emotionally and physically. And I did touch upon it on my social media. I still do, actually, but the services within the NHS have always been suffering. Obviously, after the pandemic is a whole different story, but the sad truth is that doctors have always been overstretched and underpaid in the UK, and it does take a toll on you. And I didn't realise it at that time, but obviously now when I'm working, not just for me, but also for Radhika, for my family, I realise that my energy can only be, you know, dissipated in certain aspects of my life. And being a doctor means that you have to give everything you can in the hospital. Then when you come home, your cup is completely empty and you've got nothing. You've got nothing left in you. But doing all of this work kept me in this zone of just waking up every morning, going to work, doing my shifts, and just sort of working robotically to the system. And that's all I did. But I still felt that there was a part of me missing. Because when I put my podcast to one side, it was just more of a reason for me to settle down. You know, I just needed to get my ducks in a row and just figure things out in the UK as I moved here for the first time. But I realized that as I left the podcast, at that specific point of time, I was very focused on, okay, how many listens am I getting? How many views am I getting? How many followers am I getting? And it almost got to the point where I wasn't really sure I was doing it anymore. And that same feeling I had when I was in my fourth year about trying to survive, trying to use it as my therapy, had just gone. And I almost felt quite numb to the whole idea of doing a podcast. And it could have just been I just needed a break from everything. I just needed a bit of a reset button, because my whole life had changed after coming to the UK. So I parked everything to the side and I said, look, I'm just going to focus on my wedding. I had a great wedding. We had a big fat wedding in Spain, and we're very lucky that we had it just before the pandemic, because I know a lot of people who really suffered with weddings and just ceremonies in general, because it's taken almost 2-3 years for people to have their dream wedding, which is really heartbreaking. I was very lucky to have had the wedding I've always dreamed of. But then that bubble of happiness and being in my own little world of being the princess, having the nicest dresses, going on honeymoon, just completely popped when I came back to the UK, because we came back to the UK, it was around October time, and it was about October 2019, and I came back and it was getting dark at 5 o'clock, and I realized that, crap, this is just going to be the rest of my life now. I'm just going to be going to work at 9 o'clock and come home at 5. It's going to be dark. I'm going to be driving home in the dark. It's just going to be raining. And that cloud nine that I was on after my honeymoon just completely gone. Came back to my reality of being a doctor in the UK, working my shifts. And it really just felt like a dagger to the chest, because this is not the life I wanted. And it was such a stark difference to the life I'd always dreamed of. And I hated it. I really did. And then I felt pregnant during my phase of this not liking life in the UK. The pregnancy itself was great news. It's everything that we planned for. But one thing I didn't plan for was being pregnant in a global pandemic. And Nishant is really good at planning everything. He will plan out all the different scenarios. He will say, okay, this is what we do if this happens. This is what we do if this happens. And he's even thought about the most catastrophic events. Not because he's a pessimistic person, but it's just who he is. He just has a lot of foresight, and it's something I kind of love, but I also kind of hate, because I'm just like, look, can you just relax? Like, nothing like that's going to happen. And there was one conversation we had when I felt pregnant, and he said, Mila, what happens if you have to leave the country? And I was like, why on earth would that ever happen? Like, you know, why on earth would I ever have to leave the country? I felt so safe, so comfortable. And it's going back to, you know, probably not understanding our privileges before the pandemic. And I feel like there should be some dramatic music here, because honestly, I don't remember my life before the pandemic. This whole 2 years have just changed my life completely. It's almost like, you know how you have AC and BC, before Christ and after Christ, when you look at the Bible. I feel like that should be how I look at my life before the pandemic and after the pandemic, because honestly, I just don't remember the person I was. I just don't remember having the drive that I have today. I don't remember having the willingness to learn that I have today. And anyway, I'm going off on a rant again, but just to go back to what I was saying. So we're in a global pandemic, I'd fallen pregnant, and during my pregnancy, I realized that I need to find my passion again. I need to find that thing that gave me that therapy to get through the days, to get through these dark, cold days in the winter. And that's when I started Mina's World. That time, I had like 200 followers on Twitter and Instagram. I literally was a nobody. Nobody knew me. I may have had like a handful of the diehard Desi Outsiders fans, those people who really listen to podcasts and are very dedicated to the podcast that they subscribe to. But honestly, that must have been like 4 or 5 people. And if you're still here, thank you. Thank you for showing me your love and support. But I had nobody who I could, you know, sort of boost my profile, boost my platform. I was just lost in this big, big ocean of Instagram and Twitter and lots of other people who were also trying to sort of climb this greasy pole to get to the top of the ladder of success. So I started Mina's World right at the start of 2020. So I really owe it to my very first few guests. So Raveen, Isra, Jaspreet, Reena Kaur, Priya Krishna, and all the other guests who joined me on the show, because it really gave me the confidence to keep on going and to keep my foot on the pedal, because this is a project. Social media is a project. Content creation is a project or a journey or a career where it's so easy to give up because so many other people are doing something similar. So you don't know if you're going to make it to the top. You don't know if you're going to, you know, if you don't know if you're going to be found amongst all the other people who are doing something similar. So the first guests I had really encouraged me to keep going, and they really believed in me. And to be honest, that was enough. So as I was podcasting and taking every anti-sickness medication I could think of to help ease the discomfort of baby Radhika growing inside me, and the pandemic was creeping in, I had no idea. I really had no idea it'd get this bad. I had no idea that I'll still be sat here 2 years on talking about the pandemic. We're talking about testing. We're talking about isolation. We're talking about people getting ill. We're talking about people still not getting the vaccines. I mean, it's crazy. I still didn't think we'd be here. And when I look back at the interviews I gave as a doctor on TV and, you know, talking on news channels about the virus, I still didn't think I'd be talking about it today. It really spread a lot faster and a lot more dangerously than I could ever expect, because a part of me had hoped that, you know, leaders and governments of the very developed world would take the right action, the right steps to prevent us getting to this stage. But as I said, my husband, who has the most foresight and has every scenario planned out in his head, he knew this wasn't going to end well. And this is going back to what I was saying earlier. We discussed if I should leave the country. Shall I come back to Gibraltar, which was safer? I'd be with my parents to take care of me. And I had people to look after me if I got unwell. But I couldn't leave my husband, because at that time, my husband was speaking up against the lack of protection for healthcare workers. He was on TV, he was on radio, he was saying, like, look, this is not good enough. Our leaders and our government haven't protected doctors and nurses, and they're dying, and it's not okay. So I stayed out of it for a long time, and I told him I'll stay in the UK, I'll stay with him, I'll stay by my side, because I didn't know if anything would happen to him. I didn't know if he was going to lose his job. I didn't know how bad things would get. So I just wanted to be here to support him, because my biggest worry was that I've come to Gibraltar and I'd never be able to go back, and I'd have to have a baby without him. And I think for me, that wasn't okay. So I said, look, I'll just stay in the UK, even if it means being alone for some time. But I really didn't know what the future had in store. And it was a very uncertain time. I was protesting. I was, we took the government to court, and we did lots of things. But during that period, I barely saw Nishant because he was working. I was in a very dark place because I barely saw anybody. I remember even during the most sunniest of days, I'd keep the blinds down because I just didn't want to know what was going on outside. Perhaps the stress of protesting, perhaps the stress of taking the government to court did get to me to some extent, because it was very, very scary. I didn't understand what could have happened, because, I mean, I'm such a small person compared to those people who have so much power. I won't talk about it too much because I have done a specific episode on why I held a one-woman protest, and that is in episode 13. That's episode 12. And you can even listen a little bit more about my pregnancy journey in episode 13 as well. So episode 12 and 13 will talk a little bit more about that part of my life. But as I said, the pandemic changed everything around us, and I became very active in making sure I have this habit to continue to keep up with my own learning and understanding, because I knew that if I looked deep enough, I had my own biases. And in fact, we all do. We all live our lives in our own privileges, and sometimes we just don't even know what we don't even know. And that's a scary part. You don't know what you don't know. And it's these little pockets of unknowns that lead to more unknowns, because you find something and you think, oh, I didn't know about this. And oh, I didn't know about this. And you can get lost into these little bubbles of unknowns. And once I started to understand that, I said, well, there's so much around me that I don't know. What if I start learning more? What if I start speaking to people? What if I start reading more? That's when my life had become a lot richer. And when I had Radhika, things became very difficult for me. I have suffered with postpartum depression, which I only realized probably 7-8 months into Radhika's life. And that's when I decided I was just going to take a break from everything, because I was trying to achieve too many things and it just wasn't working. And I had to focus on myself. I had to go back to my notebook and write down my values. What do I want to achieve? Why am I doing this? What do I want to do? So the question is, why am I here? And why am I sharing this with you? Because I want to have more of these journeys of traveling into the unknowns and then knowing more of the unknowns. And I think the best way I can do that is by speaking to people, and the best way I can do that is by connecting with you. So I really just want to have more perspective on the world. And I think the best way to do that is to listen to other people, to empathize and create a culture where we encourage more learning. And I think that's the most important thing, because when I was a student, even in medical school, and I think generally as a South Asian woman, we had just been, you know, just spoon-fed about things that we should know and things that we shouldn't know, things that we should learn and we shouldn't learn. And I'm trying to sort of rewire my brain in a different way and learn about the world in a completely different way. And as I do this, I want you to join me as well. And I would love to hear if you're going through something similar, especially after the pandemic, because I know the pandemic has changed it for so many people. I know it's created a big, big shift in people's learnings and understanding of the world. So please get in touch if you're doing something similar. I have so many great guests lined up. I ask them all the questions on my mind and I have no filter, because I feel like that's how we can get to the really raw detail of what's happening in the world and perhaps come up with some solutions. So this is just me, the microphone, and the guest, and there's nothing else coming in between us. So this is it. This is episode 50, and I'm so, so happy that I've managed to do this in under half an hour. I was worried I'd go on for too long, but before I go, I just want to say thank you all for joining me on this journey. I appreciate every single one of you who takes the time to listen, to message me and interact with me. It really makes my life all the more wonderful and beautiful. And if you're not following me on social media, you can. My handle is at Dr. Meaning Viz. And next week, we have our very first guest back after this little break that I've had. And it's with Catherine Mayer. That'll be episode 51. So I cannot wait to see you all next week.